Lord, make quiet our hearts that we may listen to your still small voice, so that in hearing your word, we may respond in fervent faith. As Jesus led disciples of old, so lead us, your children, today. We ask it in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus used parables or stories, and it is the method he used to teach those he met along the way. Parables are not just simple little stories used by Jesus so that everyone who hears them can understand his teaching. On the contrary, many did not understand. Parables are a form of literature that, like poetry, require the listener to work a little harder to understand. Parables have a revealing element and a concealing element. We as listeners must work to discern the meaning, and just as Jesus' explanation of the parable of the sower, even the explanation does not make it all clear. As I considered Jesus' teaching methods, I was thinking about our own teaching methods in our schools. It makes me wonder about some of our methods of teaching and whether they really work. Believe it or not, I am trained as an elementary school teacher, but then that crazy law school came along and distracted me in a different direction. In learning to be a teacher, we had to take classes in teaching methods, and I know we have many teachers in the crowd today, so they also remember. But it made me realize how teaching methods go in and out of fashion. Any of you remember the open classroom fashion? In this method, the school is a giant open area, and classes occur in little groups at the periphery. When I was doing teacher observation, I saw some of these schools still exist, but they're no longer quite so open. They've used temporary walls to bring the classes back to a more traditional, separated classroom. I attended middle school in a brand new school with the open classroom concept, which I recall as extremely distracting. When I was in sixth grade, I had a teacher who sat us all down in our little area and introduced the section on Russian history with the old Beatles song, Back in the USSR. We went through the lyrics, and to this day, I remember what a balalaika is and all sorts of information about what was then the USSR. It was the story, the song, I remembered. And perhaps Jesus, too, knew that we would remember the stories and not the basic principles. We can all remember a Bible story or two. Jesus realized in his ministry we are people of stories. We learn about one another through our stories. We can read a manual, but it's not the same as a story. Many of Jesus' listeners did not understand his parables. Jesus' parable about the seed growing in secret is only seen in Mark's gospel and might have several different interpretations. If we focus on one verse, it seems that we must now reap the harvest, that the end is near. Or, another interpretation, and more likely, the idea that we grow despite our efforts. The seed carries its future, and our efforts at forcing growth are futile. We all know about the seeds that will only germinate in the heat of a fire, or seeds requiring some other trauma to germinate. Perhaps we are also those seeds, and it's our faith in God that will ultimately make us grow. Think about the traumas in your own lives. How have the traumas in your own life led to your growth and renewal, like the seed in today's gospel lesson? I think the one trauma that comes to my mind is the divorce from my daughter's father. We can make all kind of sob stories, but mine is pretty simple. We were both young, immature, selfish, and thought that when things get difficult in a relationship, you just get rid of that relationship and find a new one, not realizing the implications for my own trauma, let alone the trauma to our daughter. Oh, I can wax eloquent about how my husband just didn't understand me and made me move to the edges of the earth where I was living 2 hours from, take this, Amarillo, 2 hours away from the big city of Amarillo. We were so far in the country, there was not even beer for sale in our county. We had to go to Oklahoma for 3-2 beer. And if we wanted something a little harder, we had to drive all the way to Kansas. We had no cultural events, no movie theater, no fine dining. Well, there was kebabs for fine dining, just miles and miles of wheat in every direction. I was a fundamentally unhappy person who blamed every bit of my unhappiness on my husband. I never stopped to think I had a little responsibility to ensure my own happiness. I was a big blamer. I blamed everyone but me. Oh, I had faith of sorts, but there was not even an Episcopal church, so I was very active in the Methodist church there. And even that was yet another reason for me to be unhappy. It was not the church I was used to and had grown up in, and so it just added to my unhappiness. So as immature, selfish, and young people do so often, we separated and ultimately divorced. We did move away from the panhandle of Texas before divorcing, but there was too much damage already to the relationship. Jennifer's father and I divorced to this day, and it remains a trauma not just to me, but to my daughter, who just this last weekend had two moms and two dads at her wedding. An awkward situation at best. Poor Robert, our son, used to call John, my former husband, Jennifer's ex-dad. He did not understand divorce. But lest you think the trauma did not have some benefits, I met a wonderful, kind, and gentle man in Stephen, and he raised Jennifer as his own, and then we were blessed with our own Robert. Jennifer grew into a lovely, smart, and wonderful young woman, and Robert is still growing into his manhood with a wonderful start. In August, Stephen and I will celebrate 25 years of marriage. And at this time, I am more mature. I'm less selfish and older and wiser about relationships. I know we will have unhappy times and happy times, and we will still remain together. I know we will both be faithful Episcopalians and may not even attend the same church. I know through the trauma of divorce, I'm a better mother, better priest, a better wife, and yes, a better person today. I know God is working in me to share love and commitment. I was that seed, and no matter what mistakes I made, I still came out the other side, a better person, and hopefully a more faithful messenger of God. I grew just as the seed grew. So you see, Jesus has many stories to tell, just as we have many stories to tell. Share your story and realize in doing so, you may be showing a love and caring another needed right now where they are. You are a faithful messenger of God, and part of your message is your story, the good, the bad, and the messy. Be a good and faithful servant and share your lives with one another. Amen.